Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you have tuned in today. Hallelujah. We're going to do an in-depth study again on Acts, the 21st chapter, and we hope to get something real good out of the Word today because God is good and His mercy is everlasting and His peace endured for all generations. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for another day, another hour, another time, God, where we can come to you to learn more about you. Reveal yourself to us. Teach us more about you, God. Open yourself up to us that we would see you as you are, God. We would have an understanding of your word. We'll have an understanding of you. We'll be able to live this life pleasing to you. Oh, God, let your Holy Ghost power envelop us today. Oh, God, reveal your truth to us. We want to see your truth in the Word of God today. Oh, God, we pray, oh, God, all those who are listening far and near, those who are in the sanctuary, those who are at home on the line, we thank God for everyone. We pray to God that you continue to bless them and keep them in the name of Jesus. As we study your Word, God, give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God today for another time to study the Word of God, another time to be in His presence, another time, oh God, to get closer to Him, because our heart desire is to be one with Him. John 17:20, Jesus said, I wish, I hope, my desire is, Father, for the disciples and me to be one like you and I are one. And so our heart desire is to be one with Christ, because that's His desire for us. And so we only can do that through prayer and the Word. We can only do that through the Word. We can become one with Him through the Word of God. So we thank God today for another opportunity just to get into His Word. We're going to look at the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, and we thank God for His Word today. We'll be seeing how we're going to just do a review on what we did last week. This is where Paul has finally made it into Jerusalem. He gave a report to the elder James and gave a testimony on everything that was going on and how things are going. And then we see where there was a controversy where they thought he was trying to neglect the law of Moses, and he did a ritual, so they all surpassed that. But how many know as soon as you've done gone to one place and you done seem like you just came over, look like there's another thing? My mom used to say, when it ain't one thing, Lord knows there's another. And so we see where this Jew from Asia, he wasn't even from Jerusalem. This Jew from Asia came and tried to have a riot. I mean, he just up a riot against Paul, amen, in the temple. He came in the temple and started accusing Paul of spreading all kind of gossip and false teaching to the Jews and going against what the law of Moses was teaching. And so he began to get all the people in the town riled up. He began to tell them that, listen, this Paul is talking about you. You, and you. You know, anytime the devil want to get somebody stirred up, they make them think it's about them. Yeah. And so we have to know that anytime we go through something, it's not about you. And you're not the only one who has to went through this thing. We have many things in the Bible that shows us how other people have walked the same road you're walking today. Yeah. Amen. But Satan will try to get somebody to think that it's against you so he can get you agitated and get you aggravated so you can join his crowd. And we see that the Jews begin to join the crowd. They begin to they draw Paul out of the temple. I mean, snatch him out of the temple and shut the door behind him, saying that they accuse him, false accuse him of bringing a Gentile into the temple, because that was a no-no back in those days. You do not bring a Gentile, any defiled person in the temple. And the irony of that, they were defiled. They were wicked. They were wicked. But they felt they were okay because they were Jews. It was okay for them to be in the temple. And so we see how people do that today, how they try to make us feel like they like we're not doing what God said, but they're doing it, and they are far from what God wanted to get done. And so we see now today that we're going to make sure that we do the will of God. And these men, this guy, he had the crowd to just believe what he was doing, and he had them took Paul out of the temple and cast him out. And then in verse 31 and 32 said, and as they went about to kill him. Now you remember when Agabus told Paul that now the man that wear these girdle and this scarf, this is what they're going to do to you when you get in Jerusalem. And Paul said, made a statement now, you got to be careful what you say. Mm-hmm. Paul say, bound? Mm-hmm. I ain't worried about being bound. I'm ready to die. And here go his words. They're ready to kill him. They bound him up, and they were ready to kill him. Mm-hmm. But how many know God got away?
God got away.
I'm telling you, no matter what the devil try against you, God got a way to rescue you
mm-hmm.
just in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they pulled Paul out, and they were going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Say, but God.
But God.
But God. And then said, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band
mm-hmm.
that all of Jerusalem is in an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
Who immediately. Okay, now he didn't take his time now.
Immediately.
Because he know Paul needed help right then.
Right then.
God know Paul needed help right then.
That's right.
He ain't waiting no 2 days.
Mm-mm.
Now, you remember when Mary and Martha sent a message that Lazarus was sick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus took 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, God know what to do when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
God know Paul needed help right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, when the captain of the guard heard him, he immediately took soldiers and centurions. And ran down unto them, and when they saw the chief captain and soldiers, they left beating Paul. My goodness. Here they are beating him and trying to beat him unto death. But God Almighty sent a rescue party and rescued Paul just in time where they stopped beating him when the centurion showed up. And so we go to the 33rd verse,
yeah.
Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to bind him in chains. Now, you see, the prophecies say,
mm-hmm.
listen, when God say something, it's going to be just like he say it's going to be.
Also, it wasn't that they were so much in love with Paul. That's probably not why they rescued him. You know, it made me think of, back in the days, I was watching some Western film, and the bounty hunters or whoever, or even the slave hunters,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they would tell them, you know, capture them, and make sure that the people don't kill them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate them so much, bring them back here, I want to kill him myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times, they would be being rescued. Somebody, they didn't want them, that mob, to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't mean they was in love with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that prophecy, it could, you know, there, it was more extensive.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that, you know, we want to kill him ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, so to speak, rather. We don't want them to kill him. So, like you said, you got to be careful about what you speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of your mouth, and just
that's
like,
true.
You know, just because they didn't want somebody else to kill you,
mm-hmm.
don't mean that.
That they don't want them.
Right.
Living
that's
it
right.
today.
Amen. We're going to open the line for those who are on the call. Ford, we're going to open your line so you are now live on the air. And we thank God that you know, that God would rescue you just in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
if he say you're going to go someplace, he didn't say Paul was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
He said these things are going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be bound.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to kill you, but they're not going to kill you because
mm-hmm.
God has a time for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And God got a way out. Hallelujah. For all of us, no matter
yeah.
what going on in our lives, no matter how dark the day is, God got the way out for all of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we stopped there at the 33rd verse. That's where we started. We need to start this week. And Fords, if y'all have a comment on the review we just did, please say something.
Yes, I just wanted to add on briefly to what Elder Heath said, that when Paul was rescued, you have to remember the Romans were all about keeping things in order. So, yes, they did not like Paul. They just wanted to get him out of this ruckus, this melee, this riot, so that things could calm down.
Right.
That was their means of getting involved, because they saw things were going crazy and out of hand, and they just wanted to calm, to bring down the temperature.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. We thank God for that. Amen. Because Satan would try stuff, but I'm so glad he is limited to what he can do.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, because if he was not limited, could you imagine the things that would come upon us? Oh, my God. But I thank God that he has a shield, hallelujah, around us, hallelujah, that protects us from dangers seen and unseen. Amen. We're going to have Elder Heath to read verse 34 and verse 35.
33 and 34. I had the new American. So you're saying it was castle or barracks? What they called it, the name is interchangeable. So it was a castle, but these soldiers, they say that was their
quarters.
In Antonia, the castle that was built by Herod. But it was named after Mark Antony. And so this was high on the hill, on the rock. And so, of course, the crowd, from they followed them there. But, yeah, it was the barracks of that. That's where they intended to have him, but they stopped because of the crowd.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's some good information. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And the thing is that now they in my Bible they call it the castle.
The what?
The castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one said that, and that's what, and mine said barracks.
Those
are interchangeable.
Yeah. And so when the devil want to accuse you of stuff, and they don't have no real cause, they can't figure out which one to accuse you of. So they got all kind of different accusations against you because they don't know what really they want to have against you. And so one saying one thing, one saying the other. Nobody's, there's no discreet thing that Paul did this. No, they just wanted an uproar. And so we see where the people were just, I mean, they're just in an uproar. And those centurions want to make sure that we keep calm, just like Elder Ford say, we make sure a calm is here, because the Romans don't want no problem. They don't want them Jews giving them no problem. Y'all just keep y'all noise down. Just want to make sure they keep the noise down. Amen.
Yes, Elder.
Hi, Elder Ford.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I was knocked offline for a little while, and I just got back on.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Sir. I know.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, can you read 35 and 36?
Yes, I can. 35 and 36, and I'll be coming from the New King James version. 35. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because the violence of the mob. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying out, "Away with him."
Uh-huh.
So here we have the first indication of how badly the mob was beating up on Paul.
My God.
And you notice there is no reference in the biblical text that Paul at any time is complaining about the fact that he's being hit and beat, stomped nearly to death. The only indication we have that it is so bad is that he had to be carried. And I find that there's a bit of irony here, because the last three words of verse 36, it says the crowd was crying out, "Away with him." Mm-hmm. And how ironic is it that this is being said to Paul, just like they said to Jesus when the multitude had turned against him? How ironic that God would use a man such as Paul, who was the king of the killer of Christians, and now his whole life has turned around where he is so dedicated to God and to Jesus, his son, that he's willing to lay down his life with no complaints whatsoever.
Wow. That is, oh my God, that is so, so awesome. Thank you so much for that. And now we at 7, right? And it says, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Can you speak Greek? And so Paul was now asking, can he talk? Can I say something to the people? Because I'm believing he had a word that God had gave him that he knew that he needed to say. And so he was Paul was asking if he could talk or speak to the people. And so he asked him, can you speak Greek? And I'm pretty sure Paul was letting him know that he can speak to the people in whatever language he need to.
Also, Pastor Ann, what you were saying was that what you just read, actually the soldiers had not really calmed down the mob scene, or it might have diminished some, but it followed them to the barracks, to the castle, and so they followed them there. So it might have been drawn from out of the inner city, but it followed them all the way there, and all of this uproar was still going on. So now Paul, he asked the captain, he said, can I speak to the people? And, you know, and then just like, you know, you say, well, you know, now it's, that's a good question he asked him.
Yeah.
So now he gets a chance to speak of his dual citizenship.
Good. Because really, actually, I'm thinking he's saying, you can't get these people calmed down. So give me a chance to get them calmed down. And I believe that if I was allowed to speak to them, I believe that I can get over to the people, that they may calm down and listen to what I got to say.
Hallelujah.
You know, so we're going to go on to, we at verse 38.
Yes.
I'm going to let you read 38 and 39. Elder Heath.
Oh.
38 and 39.
Then you are not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said, "I am a Jew of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no
what's that? Insignificant city. And I beg you, allow me to speak to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, first of all, I mean, it was and wasn't a mistake in identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who say, oh, then you're not this person. And that's the thing, like in a mob scene or crowd, as y'all were saying, that some people saying this, some
mm-hmm.
people saying that. And everything, it doesn't mean that it was a lie or not true.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, what people perceive in their own mind
mm-hmm.
when they in a mob crowd scene and people can say stuff to get them stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
And like Pastor Butterfield say, he's talking about, yeah, they talking about you. You know, so that's all you got to do is just, you know, say that. But anyway, some of the things it were true, but more so than that, against Paul, the crowd begin to pit against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
that caused this
mm-hmm.
mob thing
mm-hmm.
to be happening, and so they had to step in
mm-hmm.
and calm that down. And
right.
so now Paul is going to get an opportunity to talk about his dual citizenship.
Mm-hmm. And it's really, really showing that Paul has some confidence in what he was getting ready to say. And he was thinking that was going to bring the mob to a silence. Ms. Elder Ford?
Yes, Pastor. I just wanted to add that this is a good example of the fact that we never have to worry, because our enemies will eventually become our footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Here
that's
is,
a good
mm-hmm. Here is this man who is so beaten badly and weak that
mm-hmm.
he had to be carried.
Mm-hmm.
Just from him merely saying, answering the Roman soldier,
mm-hmm.
when he asked him, do you speak Greek? And
mm-hmm.
Paul's answer was yes. It told the Roman soldier, wait a minute now, we have
mm-hmm.
somebody special here. This is not a terrorist. This is not a rabble rouser. This is not a troublemaker. This is an educated man.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul now is in a position of he's getting respect now on another level from this Roman soldier. And all I'm asking you, sir, now that you have a different opinion of me, is I implore you that I would like to speak to these people, because the Roman soldier thought he was some Egyptian who had led this revolution with 4,000 people, thought the worst of Paul. And then when Paul went on and said, no, I'm a Jew from Tarsus,
mm-hmm.
it told this Roman soldier that I have dual citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was raised as a Jew, but I was born in an Italian or Roman province.
Mm-hmm.
So please, let me speak to these people. And obviously, there was a word in Paul that was just bursting to come out. And we'll see what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wanted to preach the gospel to these people.
Yeah.
And you know, what's amazing is all through the book of Acts, we can see where there was an uproar when the day of Pentecost, when they thought it was drunk,
mm-hmm.
it gave Peter a time to preach.
Mm-hmm.
When they
yeah.
healed the man
yeah.
Onto the gate, beautiful, it was an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave Peter
mm-hmm.
a time to preach. And so every time the devil try to make some uproar, it's Jesus as God orchestrating it to provide a platform.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes we get so get distracted about
mm-hmm.
it being about us
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and not about the gospel, not about
right,
the purpose
right, right.
that we're sent to a place. Because
mm-hmm.
Paul already know when I get there, stuff gonna happen to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now that it's happening, okay, it's got to be an opportunity now for me to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
not
mm-hmm.
to run and hide, say, you know, I'm a Roman, so, you know, don't let them beat me. Oh, no, no, no. He wasn't concerned about none of that. What he's concerned about now is that now I got an audience.
Right.
My God. Now the people are ready and primed now. I got their attention. And all God needs is somebody's attention. But sometimes you got to take your being whooped. You've been stoned. You've been ridiculed. You've been talked about. You've been lied on. It took all of this. Sometimes to get their attention for you to just deliver the word of God to the people of God. My God. So Paul is ready. I mean, you know, we would think he was weak, like Elder Ford said. He was beaten there to death to help him. But now, because of an opportunity, the Holy Ghost that invigorate him. Oh, my God. The Holy Ghost just energized him. Now, there's an opportunity now to preach the gospel. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That shows you, too, that there is a time, a place, and a season. It's a timing. Because Paul, while he was being beat up and everything, he wasn't trying to tell them, let me speak to anybody. He just waited until his timing.
Yes.
Listening to the Holy Spirit of knowing when he should start talking. So now he got them all in there with him. They done all drawn in. And so now he say, hey, it's my time right now. And it's the same way with us. We can't just go blabbing off about what the Holy Spirit done told us, what God done told us. We can't do that. You got to know when to share what you got to share.
Amen.
You know, so it's very important. It's really awesome how Paul handled this. And it's kind of like Jesus. Jesus was born to die on the cross. But the key was, he knew that's why he came here. But he still had to go through his process, and then he was willing to go through the process. And here Paul here is willing as well to go through the process that God done already shared with him. He said, I know I deal with some things, and I'm going to deal with them so that I can get to where God wants me to be.
And I think, too, I'm likening this to the strategic move of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, and how he instituted in the people the nonviolent move. And when they get you, how to just fall and stay, how to not fight back. And with them going through what they went through, it allowed him to get that platform when he made the infamous I Have a Dream speech. And had it not been for that strategy of not fighting back.
Right. That's good. That's great.
And Pastor Ann?
Yes.
I just wanted to also add on, under the umbrella, the third time is the charm. This is really the third time in the book of Acts that Paul has been abused and, you know, set upon, because in Acts 14 and 5, it said, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone him. And then Acts 14 and 19, the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him to the city, supposing him to be dead. And now here we have the third time. So like you said, Pastor Ann, it's all about timing. We have to be patient unto the Lord.
You have to be patient. And then you, when we think about Paul had already went through all this kind of crazy stuff. He was out there stoning people as well. So he really, that's why God, that's why we go through, the Bible talks about we're going to have some trials, we're going to have some tribulations or whatever. And sometimes we complain about what our trial is, our tribulation. But God wants us, it's in this, it's right here, what Jesus did and also what Paul had done. And let me tell you, he was showing us the things that we should do. And so here it is, Paul really had a revelation of what all this stoning and all this stuff, he had a revelation of what that was all about. So he was able to handle it in a way that somebody, maybe someone had never went through that type of situation. But being the fact that he had been through this already, he knew exactly what he needed to be doing. So that made it even more clearer. That's why when a person has gone through a particular trial or a tribulation, we've really been delivered from something, but now we come in contact with that same situation, maybe you're trying to help somebody else or whatever, you really have a revelation as to what you need to do now.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And by the power of God and the Holy Ghost, I mean, you can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And we just I don't know where we at now, 40?
Yes.
Oh, okay, Elder Heath, let's do verse 40.
I love this verse. Oh, God, have mercy. When he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the stairs, motioned to the people with his hand, and when there was a great hush, some words say silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew dialect, saying, watch out now, hallelujah. I was just like, earlier I heard Pastor Ann say about his confidence, and I had written here, there was Paul, standing high up on the steps of the castle, down between two soldiers, making his appeal to the people. Watch out, I almost started to preach there. He was self-confident. And, yes, and composed. He was calm about it. That with a wave of his hand, he was able to quiet the crowd so he could be heard. And even though they asked could he speak Greek, more of the tongue of the Italian, he spoke it, but he spoke it in his own, in a dialect, in a Hebrew dialect. And that's, you know, that's just like me trying to speak French or Spanish. Sometimes it doesn't come out, you know, with that tongue you was raised with.
Right.
But the thing is that he knew the language. Like someone said earlier, he was an educated man, and he knew the language, and so he could just, I mean, I was just blown back by the power that he just waved his hand. But, you know, back in the day, only the Herods and the kings could raise their hand and a hush would fall.
Oh.
I said, I don't know what they was thinking then, those soldiers and that captain of the guard. And that man just waved. That power, ain't it?
Power. Oh, my God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It's amazing how God would show himself strong and mighty in you. In one moment, you are the victim. In one moment, they're not concerned about you. They have no concern about you. In the next moment, my goodness, you just wave your hand. And peace and silence come. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How great God is. I mean, one moment you are the victim. They're beating you. They're trying to tear you apart. They're trying to rip you apart. And the next moment. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The next moment, you just get up and raise your hand.
Oh, man.
And here comes silent in peace. Because when God gets ready to speak.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Peace.
When God gets ready to say something, everything else got to keep quiet. My goodness. No. Oh, my God. And then the thing is, now he's given permission to speak.
They couldn't be not near.
So now he had authority.
Yes.
He wasn't going on his own self, but
no.
Now he had authority and was given permission to speak.
Yes. He
stood.
But he was given permission to use it.
That's right. And so Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned his hand. Hallelujah.
Why did he do it?
And when and there was great, not just a silence.
A great silence.
Great silence. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you.
People say, what you can hear
us. Pin drop. I was going to say what Bishop Kevin said, but I ain't going to say it.
What did he say?
Amen. You can hear a pin drop on the carpet. Amen, amen, amen. So God, I mean, God is so awesome when he demonstrated his power. When it seemed like we are forsaken, we are beaten down. I mean, that's why Paul can say, though I'm despondent, I'm not destroyed. He can say that though I'm cast down, oh, my God, I am not. He understands. Because here he is on one hand, he was beaten. Torn down.
Mm-hmm.
In the next moment,
my God, he's up.
He's in authority.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God
he
is good.
Sure is.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And sometimes when we pray, you know, that the prophetic word will come true.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it, we most of the times only willingly want to accept a favorable prophetic word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
if it's God and you know that person is a prophet that came to you, who was it? Agabus, whatever.
Agabus. Uh-huh.
That
mm-hmm.
if you know he's a prophet and he said this bad thing is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
we've got to accept the prophetic word that's a bad, don't seem like it's good for us and our favor.
That's right.
Because he told him that. But I don't think he told him the outcome of it.
Yeah.
So sometimes if we believe God and we believe that's a true prophet telling us that, we got to accept the not so good prophetic word that is truly a word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go through it, you know, so but that's all I say.
Yeah,
you have to
good.
Accept the good prophetic
you gotta
word
accept
and
the
bad.
Bad and the good. Because it's going to be, that's going to be good for you. You just don't want to go through the process.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember Bishop saying, I think they was on a mission trip or something, and one of the prophets that associate with us in our association told her that she would be doing what she's doing right now. And she knew that, she knew from that prophecy that either Archbishop would be at home and can't go nowhere, or he may be deceased.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't want to hear that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want to receive that particular prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
She did not want to receive it, but sometimes we always just, like you said, want to hear the good prophecy, but all the prophecy is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we don't want to go through the process, but we see where Paul, even though he knew he had to go through the process, and even though Jesus knew he had to go through the process, he still went on through the process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do, too. Is I ain't going to always be so favorable when we hear the words of the prophet coming to you. The prophet's going to be telling you what thus says the Lord, and then you got to walk in it.
Owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even tell him none of the good stuff after
good
he just
stuff.
Told him that bad thing. And Paul was still willing to go ahead on.
Right.
He didn't say, what's the rest of it? Did God say something else? You
okay,
good?
And then what's going to happen?
We
want to
hear the good
that.
Part now.
Come on, bring me the good part.
Oh,
Jesus. Amen.
All right, Master Ford. Chapter 4.
Yes, Pastor. I'm listening. I'm taking it all in.
Okay. Going first.
Chapter
22?
22,
verse 1 and 2.
Yes, ma'am. Here it is. Yes, I'm here. Here we go. Acts 22, verse 1 and 2. 1 and 2. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more
silent.
Silent. All the more silent. So, three, yes. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. For according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous about God as you are today. Wow. Okay. So I remember the first three words he said in verse 1, where he says, brethren and fathers. Again, he's paying tribute to Stephen. Because Stephen, when he was giving his defense to the multitude before he was stoned, he used those same words in his opening introduction. That goes back to Acts 7. I think 7 and 2, if I remember. And right after that, Paul says, hear my defense. And when you translate the word defense into the Greek, it's translated into the word apologia, from where we get the word apology.
Oh, okay.
So where he is now, he got the crowd even more silent because he's speaking to them in their language. He addresses them in a way that gives tribute to Stephen. He's now going to make a defense by talking about where he came from and who he is. And yes, same time, we'll see, he's going to make apologies in terms of who he was and now put on a defense on who he is now and why you should listen to him. And he gets very specific about where he was born, and he was brought up in the city at the feet of, meaning he was taught by Gamaliel. Yes. Who was a very learned man at that time. He was one of the top
scholars.
Scholars, yes, that's the word I'm looking for. At that time. And Paul studied under him. So the crowd is taking all of this in, this angry, riotous crowd, and it's like, what manner of man is this that we nearly beat to death?
Wow.
He was about to take his last breath, and he is technically one of us who studied under one of the all-time great scholars of our time. You know what? I better listen. Let me listen to what this man has to say. and that's how he brought him. That's how he drew him in.
Oh,
amazing,
okay.
Amazing story.
Hey,
so he laid the foundation for the, what else he's gonna say now.
Yeah.
Now he had credence now where he's worthwhile listening to. This ain't just somebody talking from the hip, or somebody just making up some stuff.
Right.
This is somebody that we know. We know the reputation. We know what they say. We know his stock. we know where he comes, came. So we know what's in him. So we can expect great things to come out of him, because now he laid the foundation. Here's my credential.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Certified. Yeah, yeah. If you have any doubt on what I'm about to say, let me lay some groundwork, some foundation, so you know what I'm saying. in, it ain't just words. What's in me, you know of. It's just like somebody went to Harvard. You know, they all they have to say is they graduate from Harvard. Then you know, you're gonna pave the way. You're gonna give them honor and respect now because you know they're one of the top institutes in the United States. And so the thing is that what he's saying now is this is who I am. Let me give you my resume.
Yeah.
Let me let you know what my credentials are. And so when I begin to speak now, I don't have to try to explain anything else. You know what I'm saying. See the right thing to say. And so God always have you. He already have stuff in your background that equips you.
That's right.
For what you need to do when the time comes.
That's right.
No matter what it is, he will equip you because even when you think about Moses, who went on the backside of the mountain and he became a shepherd. For 40 years, he was learning how to lead God's people. He went to the University of Hard Knocks in the wilderness where he learned how a shepherd take care of the flock.
Yeah.
So he was able now to take care of the children of Israel who were like sheep.
Yeah, because he knew.
So God. God would equip you for whatever you need. Whatever you need when the time comes, he would already have you equipped so you're able to do what you need to do. He would make sure that he gives you what you need so you won't have to be guessing. You have the experience. You have to have, you be certified now that when the time comes for you to open your mouth, You know what you're talking about.
That's right. That's
you
right.
ain't guessing about it. Now you know what you're talking about. God, so when we go through things, we can't get despondent in those things
because
it's working for our good.
Yes.
That's what the Bible said. All things
my God.
Work together for your good. So when you go through hard times, you're going to need it tomorrow. You're going to need it 2 months from now. The reason why you're going through that thing, you're going through it because you're going to need it. Hallelujah. Because it's going to give you strength for tomorrow. So when Paul was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, he didn't know that he's going to need that to actually save his life.
Right.
just knowing that he has the qualification now, that he, the experience that he set at his feet, that now this becomes a valuable. You know, sometimes we go to school and we think, "Oh man, this thing ain't gonna do me no good." You know, but you know, why did I do math in school? Why did I? I mean, they got calculators. They got all these guys. Why do I? But you never know when to get in the future. How you gonna need to use what God has put in you already? And God,
exactly.
Bishop Kevin say, there's nothing wasted.
Nothing. I know that.
Nothing wasted. Whatever we experience, it has value for our future.
Yes.
It has value for our destiny. It has value for the purpose we've been sent here for. And so Paul can see now. Those days when he didn't even want to go to school, when he had to get up early in the morning to go sit down at the feet of Gamaliel and stayed all night and then to go search out all the Pentateuch and all the history and all the stuff in the Old Testament, had to figure out all, study all that stuff. Now here comes time. When he preaching the gospel.
Pastor Stephen?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you finish your thought?
No.
Please excuse me. I just wanted to emphasize exactly what you were saying, because only God could speak through Paul for him to come up with these last words of the third verse, where he says that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, but here it is, taught according to the strictness of our father's law and was zealous towards God. But this is where he gets him. He flips it back on him, saying, strictness of our father's law and was zealous towards God as you all are today. Meaning, as much as you wanted to kill hurt, destroy, tear me apart with every fiber of your bones. This is how much I have been brought up under the strictness of the Father's law and was zealous towards God.
Mm.
Just so that message could go out to the crowd, that energy that you put forth in trying to destroy me, that is the kind of commitment I had to my learning of the law, your law, the Hebrew
mm-hmm.
law, and mm. being zealous towards God.
Mm-hmm.
God is
Amen.
Amazing. He'll give yes. you the words you need. Every
yes,
day.
He will.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, thank you, Brother Ford, for saying that, because I also think it was a form of psychology. Those last
yes.
words come out saying, zealous for God, as you all are. You just got finished trying to drag me and mob me and kill me. But now
you got it.
Psychology and talking about how
yes,
much
ma'am.
For God, as I know you all
yes.
are. You know, they probably stand there feeling ashamed when he said, no good and well, that they weren't zealous for God, or else they wouldn't have been trying to kill it. But I love
yes.
that psychology that he used. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what he did is, when we get to the next two verses, Elder Heath, we're going to see what he meant. He was in the same condition they was in,
mm-hmm.
where he was persecuting folks. He was killing folks.
Yeah.
So that's how they're trying to do him?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, I've been there, done that.
I'll
read 4 and 5 so we can
wrap it up.
We can wrap it up with that. 4 and 5.
I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison,
mm-hmm.
and as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify.
Mm-hmm.
From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there into Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think that we've all, that's self-explanatory. Now he's getting ready to go into this testimony of, you know,
what he had done.
What he had done before Damascus Road, but still
right.
he was doing it in the authority because he said he had letters,
yep.
mm-hmm.
you know, to do this from the council. But I thought it was really, you know, a thing to share after just telling the people how zealous they were for God and the
mm-hmm.
love of God as
mm-hmm.
he is, you know. But awesome.
Mm-hmm. And what he's doing is saying that, now, just how you were,
yeah, yeah.
now, you didn't have no letter to come after me.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
I had written
authority
mm-hmm.
to do what I
yes.
did.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got no authority to do what you're doing. But when I did it, I was so zealous. I didn't do it like a renegade. Like but I had authority. I had letters. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was going all out. So I understand where y'all at.
Mm-hmm.
I was caught up in the same stuff I caught up in. like the blind man said, I once was blind, but now I see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I was doing the same thing you guys were doing. Here's proof. I did it. I was
mm.
killing folks,
mm-hmm.
having them
mm-hmm.
killed, having them put in prison, men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't discriminating.
Mm.
And the high priest, they can testify.
Yep.
If you need some witnesses, they can testify what I did, because I was zealous just like y'all are today.
Mm. My Lord.
So I understand y'all zealous. I ain't got nothing against y'all. I ain't got nothing against y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just lay some stuff on you.
Mm-hmm. uh-huh.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Praise be to God.
Oh, glory,
hallelujah.
Glory.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
So we see we got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. We go ahead and do our offering, but we thank God for this word today.
Yes, praise God.
I mean,
God for
we
the
can
word.
See how God's
mm-hmm.
word has just set us up
mm-hmm.
to put us in position
mm-hmm.
to complete our assignment that we
mm-hmm.
have
have assigned all of us,
mm-hmm.
amen, to do certain things, and all of our all our assignments are not the same.
Yes.
But he's going to put us in places
mm-hmm.
to complete our assignment,
mm-hmm.
and he'll equip us.
Yes.
The good thing is that he's going to equip us. He won't leave us unequipped
or
unprepared.
Yeah.
He will make sure we're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever comes our way, we
mm-hmm.
are going to be prepared.
Amen.
And so God is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and he is so good to allow us to be in places that we can impact people's lives and make a difference in their lives.
Praise God. Praise God. We want to thank you for those of you that tune in on the broadcast and for Bible study, and all of those who have come out to the house of God to share in this noonday Bible study. We want to thank each and every one of you. This has been an awesome Bible study.
Amen.
And we want to
Amen.
Thank everybody for coming out.
Amen.
And those that are online sharing in with the broadcast. I'm going to go on and give my phone number for you just in case you don't want to save what you're given. You can send it to me, 770-906-0607. You can do your offering and send it, text it to me so that I can have a recording of it. They put it all together, so we need to have noonday separated, the offering separated. So that's why I need the totals, that those of you that is online, if you would let me know what. We want to thank you for giving. God is so good. He is awesome. And we know that as we give, God will give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto our bosom. So we praise God for each and every one of you that has made it your heartfelt desire to give. And as we give, God will give it back to us. For that, we just bless you, Lord, and we just give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for giving us a seed to sow. And we pray, Lord God, that as we give, that you will give it back to us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto our bosom. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. So we thank each and every one of you for giving today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So let us close out our Bible study. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for equipping us.
Mm-hmm.
For the assignment that you have put us into, oh God. We thank you, Lord God,
mm-hmm.
that let your word abide in us, oh God, that we abide in it. And you say when that happens, we can ask for what we will.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, we thank you. We give you praise. We ask you to dismiss us from this your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody say,
amen.
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 Thank
praise
you so much,
God.
Man.
Praise God. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
God bless.